Unified Review Theory.
Hello!
Hello!
And welcome to a not very special edition of the Unified Review Theory podcast.
Oh, that's a great way to kick it off, isn't it? That's well, a way to get some enthusiasm going.
To explain, we had a very special one that we recorded yesterday, and then my computer died. And we lost
it
all.
Best podcast ever.
Out of all three of them.
No, of all podcasts ever.
Oh, of all podcasts? I suppose it might well have been.
Yeah, I'd say so.
But
this is not that podcast.
We won't dwell on the past.
This is the last minute, I guess we better do something, replacement podcast, because due to circumstances out with our control, we lost the last podcast because James can't work his computer yet.
What's
your excuse? Come on, I'm sure everyone would love to hear your excuse.
You were just... Well, okay, my excuse was that I was kicking your ass at Mario Kart at the time.
Barely. Anyway, yeah, fair enough. A game you own and have played hours and hours and hours, which I'd never touched before, you were doing slightly better than me at, and that's why you can't work your own laptop. So, yeah, so we lost that, and we can't really do the stuff we were talking about then. So we, as a last-minute replacement, I thought we'd hit the internet and choose a few random subjects. So I went to Wikipedia, the great portal of knowledge, and... should we introduce ourselves, by the way?
Oh, probably.
I'm Neil. Who are you?
I'm James. I'm the cheeky one.
I'm the brainy one.
Yeah.
I'm Neil, that's James. This is Unified Review Theory, the podcast where we review everything in the world and give it a mark out of 10.
Yes. And it's going to be a not so long one this time because I've got a roast in the oven. So
yeah. So we're going to review three random subjects brought to you by the magic that is the random article on Wikipedia. And the first thing we're going to be looking at is, what was it called? That bloody awful album we had to listen to.
Wait, before we start, there's my joke.
Okay, James wants to tell a joke before we get into the reviews.
Yeah. Okay, so Mario and Luigi have been at the pub all night. They've had a few beers, come out of the pub, closing time, they're staggering home. And they hear a voice behind them and it goes, "Hey, Mario, you can't jump at all. My little sister can jump better than you." And they turn around and there are these two ghosts. They're not moving, completely still. Kind of, that's a bit weird. So they carry on walking. They hear, "Hey, Mario, I was speaking to Bowser and he said he had to stop fighting you because you kept on trying to kiss him." And so they turn around again. And the two ghosts again, completely still, like covering their eyes so they can't be seen and stuff. Think, "Oh, right, okay." So they carry on walking. Once again, here, Mario, I went around Princess Peach's last night. I sorted out her plumbing. Mario's really annoyed now. He goes completely pissed off. He goes, "Right, I don't care the ghosts. I'm going to beat them up anyway." And Luigi goes, Mario, calm down. It's just the booze talking.
I laughed too much for the quality of that punchline.
That's a great joke.
That is a good joke. Did you make that up yourself?
I did, yeah. And I was playing Mario.
Okay, everyone pause for a round of applause here for James and his amazing joke that he made up.
Anyway, yes. So, I believe last podcast you said we were going to no longer do obscure things. We were going to tackle for our review topics things that everyone had heard of.
Yeah, well,
so what's our first topic again?
Yeah, we're the first thing we're going to be reviewing, as I say, random subject, is the album Perfect Remedy by Status Quo. Which I was delighted to see come up, certainly, as you can imagine. I had never listened to Status Quo intentionally before, or willingly. But of course, due to the magic of the internet and Spotify and what have you, it was a matter of moments' work to get the entire album, Perfect Remedy by Status Quo, and give it a listen. And,
This was actually my first time using Spotify, and I must say I'm very impressed.
It's pretty awesome, isn't it?
Listen to albums.
You can listen to anything you like without paying any money. It's amazing. But we're not here to review Spotify, which is an interesting and lively subject, which both of us are interested in. No! We're here to review Perfect Remedy by Status Quo, which is not. I gave it a listen, and... I was really surprised. I was surprised how much I really enjoyed it.
Were you?
No, of course. Don't going to be ridiculous.
It seems slightly unconvincing given your Twitters while you were listening to it.
Yes, I think I said that by the time I got to about sort of 10 tracks in, I felt like I was a bit drunk and someone was punching me in the face. Which is, so I kind of understand now where the expression pub rock comes from, because it does recreate the experience of being in a really shitty pub just by listening to this music.
With some tosser monopolising the jukebox and putting on the whole Status Quo album.
Exactly. Nightmarish scenario. What did you think,
James? I didn't actually mind it so much. I mean, I wouldn't go so far as to say I even disliked it. It was lower down than that. But, you know, it was kind of in the background. It didn't get my heckles up or anything. It didn't make me want to throw up. It just was. It existed.
Oh, it
required nothing
awful.
From me. I required nothing from it, you know.
It was the same song 12 times.
Yeah.
And each of those songs had the same 3 notes in. Over and over again.
It did get me thinking, actually.
They all just went like that. It was mental.
But looking at the Wikipedia entry, which is where all this came from,
yes,
it seems this is, I think, I worked out, it was the 17th album by Status Quo.
Yes.
And then done another 10 more. And
wow.
You just have to wonder, why would you ever, considering one Status Quo album is one song repeated 12 times.
Yes.
You know, if you were to then repeat that again another 26
I'm actually getting shivers down my spine thinking about...
He must really dig those 3 chords.
Ironically, yes, I see from Wikipedia that their last most recent album is called In Search of the Fourth Chord. Ah, nice little self-reflective irony there.
Status Quo discovered irony.
God, it was awful.
I quite liked track number 6, The Power of Rock. Although, for a song called The Power of Rock, it didn't really have much power to it. It's kind of more the inoffensiveness of rock.
I barely even remember that one. They all sounded the same to me. There was one that was slightly more sort of ballady, which I think was probably my least favourite of all. The first track, you know, I could just about tolerate.
Little Dreamer.
Little Dreamer. It came on, and I mean, this is not really a genre that I'm familiar with. I gather it's called boogie rock. That's what you call Status Quo. It sounded to me kind of like late period Beach Boys, like sort of Wild Honey, like after Brian Wilson had gone insane and burned all his records and he left the band, and they were just a touring monstrosity playing sort of middle of the road crap rock. It sounded kind of like that, but without all the good stuff about that, because they could still sing and write a good tune, and, you know, if you took all that away and just replaced it with, you know, shit... Then
Status Quo.
You'd have Status Quo. But, you know, it's had a basic sort of tunefulness to it that I could just about tolerate. But as I say, then it was the same again 12 times, and that wore
well,
out.
Well, to be fair, they do call themselves Status Quo. So...
Yeah, I guess I never really thought about the name and the sinister threat implied by that name before.
They might as well call themselves Don't Rock the Boat.
Exactly. Same old shit. Okay. Anything else to say on the subject?
Yeah, I was just going to say that when they originally started out, it's quite strange because, as most people do when they're in the bands, I once wrote a song which I thought was really, really good and then discovered it was exactly the same as a Status Quo song. But it was like from their first album, and it's called Matchstick Men. And it's, you know, that bit in Spinal Tap where like they have a very old... video of Spinal Tap, and they're kind of like, you know, clean cut and folky and stuff.
Vaguely, yes.
I think that this must have been the inspiration, because that is a very jolly little tune, which is just, you know, kind of like The Who or someone. And that was actually quite pleasant. So I think Status Quo, to give them their due, have done one good song.
That was the exact song that someone mentioned to me on Twitter when I was moaning about how I had to listen to an album by Status Quo. They said they did that one good song, and then they did the same song 12,000 times.
Yeah, and that song wasn't on this album. So.
No.
You wonder what...
As you say, this was like, from 1989, this was their 17th album, so this was not kind of their breakthrough, you know... revolutionary album. This was not what they're famous for. This was them really sort of mid period in a solid groove doing the same thing, I would imagine. I mean, they were pretty popular in the 80s, right? That was their kind of time, I guess.
They were ever really popular in the traditional sense of the word.
No, fair
enough. It's
a bit
quiet. If people are going to keep on paying them to put out albums, I'm guessing they're going to keep on selling, so...
Yeah, well, and to this day, indeed. Anyway, we are, you know, being sarcastic and facetious about the status quo, which is pretty cutting-edge stuff to be doing in 2009.
Take that, status quo!
Snap!
We don't care whose nose we put out of joint.
Oh, yeah, we're fearless, man. It's probably, you know, fashionable to like them again now. Is it?
They did play Glastonbury this year, no, I think.
Well, there you go. Yeah, so we're post ironically saying they're shit. It's actually quite bold.
This is why I hate irony.
Yeah, it's hard to keep track of sometimes, isn't it? Anyway, that's 15 minutes on Status Quo's Perfect Remedy, which is, you know,
more than it deserves.
I'd say so. It did really cheer me up, though, by finishing, because I was so depressed by that. I listened to the 6 bonus tracks that apparently you didn't even bother listening to, and they were, you know, if anything, worse. So by the time it ended, I was just, oh, God, silence. Oh, that's beautiful.
It does redefine bonus, doesn't it? As in, kind of like a bonus kick in the teeth.
A bonus punch in the face from an angry drunk in a terrible pub in a shitty nowhere town. Okay, marks out of 10 for Perfect Remedy by Status Quo.
Well, you see, I'd like to give it a 5 out of 10 because that's the most middle-of-the-road mark you could get for the most middle-of-the-road album, the most middle-of-the-road band. But that makes it seem too good, so I'm going to give it 3 out of 10.
Yeah, exactly. I see your reasoning there, and I'm going to agree with you, but go slightly lower because I really actively, it made me feel ill, and go for 1.5 out of 10.
Yeah. Okay, so what's that average? 2.25 out of 10 for Perfect Remedy by Status Quo. It does make you wonder what it's a remedy for.
Ugh.
Happiness, probably.
Happiness. A nice day. A day that was going well. This is the perfect remedy.
I give your mama 5 out of 10.
Yes. Okay, so next up, we are going to be reviewing... God, what was it next? Ah, yes. Dirk Minifield. Now, do you know who Dirk Minifield is, James?
Dirk Dwayne Minifield.
Dirk Dwayne. he's a retired American professional basketball player who played for the
You're
Dallas
just
going to
read out the entry.
Well, I'm going to give you a kind of Reader's Digest version of the Dallas Mavericks. Now, you know, I did actually veto a couple of topics that came up on Wikipedia because, I mean, they were just so boring and there was nothing we could possibly have said about them. But this actually sounds
worse
like quite
than Dirk
an interesting
Minifield.
Guy. No, he's, you know, he's a professional sportsman. That's an interesting thing, you know, to be. Relatively.
He was named Mr. Basketball.
So you've got to be pretty good at basketball, you know.
You're going to be Mr. Basketball. Is that like one of the Mr. Men?
So, yeah, Mr. Basketball. There's virtually a movie pitch here called Mr. Basketball. He's a promising athlete, played for his college, played All-State, played for the University of Kentucky, and then on to the Dallas Mavericks. He was so good they called him Mr. Basketball, a clean-cut professional sportsman that all the kids wanted to be. But there was a dark side to his story. Dirk Dwayne Minifield began using marijuana at age 14. and so all the while that he was going and playing all these amazing games of basketball and getting the kids' respect, he was doing all kinds of stuff. He took a vial of cocaine with him regularly while he was in the UK. Oh, he was in the UK. And he frequently took hits of the
University
drug.
University of Kentucky.
Oh.
To be fair, I think the United Kingdom came first. It's kind of...
That's rather arrogant, isn't it, to use the acronym UK for the University of Kentucky.
Are there any other UKs around? Oh, well, it's just a country over the Atlantic. Don't worry about
it. Screw those guys. He was taking coke before playing basketball, which I'd imagine gave him... Would that give you an edge or be a disadvantage? I don't even know.
Having neither played basketball nor taken cocaine, I'm not really in a position to.
Okay, we're not going to get a terribly insightful debate on that point. And not only that, but he admitted later that he and several teammates had gone to a park in Knoxville, Tennessee, the night before their, you know, big showdown with Louisville, and smoked some marijuana, and then smoked some more marijuana after returning to his hotel. Oh, well, that wasn't as exciting as I thought it was going to be. I mean, smoking marijuana is not going to give you a competitive advantage in a basketball playoff with the University of Louisville, I'd have thought.
Unless you thought that, like, the basketball was a giant Edam cheese and you had the munchies, because that's what happens to people who smoke marijuana.
As is well known, yes. Yeah, so he played basketball so well, but all the time he was smoking marijuana and sitting in his hotel room. And, yeah, eventually that contributed to the early end of his career. He, I guess, they noticed that he was stoned all the time and therefore kind of shit at basketball.
No. It was one event.
Okay.
It was in that game. He went into the lane, threw up a tentative shot that Charles Jones blocked.
Fucker.
And because of that one shot, they lost.
Oh, wow. That's,
That would be the defining moment of the film. You can see it in slow motion where he makes a shot and...
Absolutely, but that
blocked.
Would only be about the halfway point of the film. This would not be the climax of our film, because obviously you want him to then have the triumphant comeback, you know, to get his life back together after this wild hedonistic binge of sitting in his hotel room smoking marijuana occasionally. You want to see him, you know, get back on track after that. But yeah, he missed the shot. He was depressed about it. It all went to shit. His NBA career ended. He returned to Lexington, but wound up in jail. I mean, this is an exciting second act.
Was it an exciting thing he went to jail for? Or did he rob a bank or, like, you know, beat up a clown or something?
He wrote some bad checks, which is not that exciting. But we could spice that up, you know.
I'm going off this film.
You need
to throw something in there. You know.
Mr. Basketball, the motion picture event of 2010, is based on real events, James. It's not strictly true. So instead of writing bad checks, we could make it that, yeah, he punched out some bad chicks. I don't know. He went on a spree.
He kidnapped the president.
He kidnapped the president for marijuana money. I don't know. And this led to his first wife divorcing him. And he was penniless, and he ended up in a drug abuse centre in Houston.
There were really topics that you passed on that were less interesting than Dirk Minnick.
You would not believe some of the topics I passed on, yes. There really were. This guy has a story. This is an interesting guy. He's been to the top and he's been to the bottom. He's like Frank Sinatra, but with basketball and marijuana.
You seem to be empathising quite a lot with Mr. Basketball.
Well,
is there something you want to reveal to our listeners?
I've occasionally sat in my hotel room
in a park smoking marijuana last night, and that's why this review is so dull.
I had to draw a picture earlier, and it was a really make or break picture that my entire career rested on. But I'd smoked some marijuana the night before, and so it wasn't very good.
So you used crayons.
So I used crayons, and the editors laughed at me, and now I'll never work again. Okay, so yeah, he went to the drug abuse centre and, you know, found God or whatever, and now he's okay. And he's got 8 grandchildren, so there you go, happy ending to Dirk Dwayne Minifield's story. And I think there's a movie in there. I mean, not an interesting one or one that you pay to watch, but it's kind of, you know, TV movie biopic thing, no?
Americans will just watch any movie if it features sport.
Yeah.
It gives them something to do when they're not watching sport.
Fair point. Well, I'm going to be pitching that. I may, you know, do it as a comic, first of all, get some buzz going.
I suppose maybe as a manga it could work.
Mr. Basketball. Genius.
Mr. Basketball.
Okay.
Basketball,
when
then?
You consider Dirk Dwayne Minifield's life as a whole, you know, the ups of the NBA career, the downs of the drug abuse in the hotel room, what would you give this man and his 8 grandchildren as a human being out of 10? What do you think, James?
2 out of 10.
2?
He smoked marijuana in a park before an important game and missed the vital shot.
2 out of 10 is what you give Hitler or something.
Hitler didn't smoke marijuana, Neil.
Not so far as we know, no. And
if he'd been smoking up a joint before he invaded Poland, he never would have got as far as he did.
No, because he would have missed the vital shot, and everyone else.
Winners don't take drugs. Hitler didn't take drugs. He might have taken drugs.
So in your mind, Hitler is better as a human being than Dirk Duane Minifield?
There is no grey, Neil. It's black or white. Wow. Either you smoke marijuana or you don't smoke marijuana.
This is unexpectedly hard line from you, James. I'm taken aback slightly. I'm going to give Dirk Duane Minifield a solid, respectable sort of B plus 6 out of 10, because I think it sounds like he's had quite an interesting life, and I'm sure he's a lovely man. Although it's kind of hard to glean that from a Wikipedia article, because there are no citations for personality.
Yeah, maybe this wasn't the best idea in the world.
Shut up.
Live and learn. 4 okay, out of 10 so then for Dirk, Mr.
Four
Basketball.
4 out of 10 on
build.
Average for Mr. Basketball. And on to our final
that was
review.
Exciting.
Our final review today, we are going to be reviewing The Flag of Pakistan, which is, well, it's kind of self-explanatory really, isn't it? It's the national flag of the country of Pakistan. James, flag thoughts?
It's green, and it's got like a crescent moon and a star.
Yes.
I would say it's quite derivative of other flags of Islamic republics, to be honest.
You're calling it derivative. You're calling Syed Amir Uddin Kedwai, who designed it,
Designed it. Yeah, I could have designed it. Just take the Islamic religious symbol and put it on a flag.
Yeah.
And chose the colour.
He wasn't claiming it was an original design. He drew inspiration from the flag of the Mughal Empire in India. It's an obvious homage. You know, he was hands up
all,
about that.
All I'm saying is, you got a new country, yeah?
Yeah.
You got the chance to make something which everyone is going to have to fly every time you go anywhere, you know. You might as well put your face doing a big thumbs up.
Do you think that the newly formed nation of Pakistan would have really rallied behind the grinning, gurning face of Syed Amir Uddin Kedwai doing a big thumbs up like an idiot? Do you think that would have made them proud every time they looked up to it?
It would have cheered them up. It would have made, they would have been walking around a bit glum because, you know, maybe their goats died or something. They looked up, they see the flag. Say, there's Saeed smiling down on me. Everything's not so bad.
Do you think that, you know, the world today would be a better place and there would be less trouble in some of the problematic sort of border regions of Pakistan and less tension generally if they had gone with that flag design and they could look up at Saeed's grinning idiot two thumbs up face?
Yes. Yes, I do.
I wanted you to say that you thought that.
Have I walked into your rhetorical trap?
Oh, I'm so good at arguing. I like it. I like the flag of Pakistan a lot. I think it's an attractive colour combination and a nice, bold, simple design. It's not nothing too fruity going on there. That's the state and war flag, of course. There's also the civil ensign variant, which is the same, but sort of the white and the green, the moon and the star up in the top corner, but with a red design taking up the most of the area of the flag. I think we're
skirting over one of the most important bits, is that it has for 1/5 of the flag is just a white bar, which is because, you know, most of the people there are Islamic, and then there are a few people who aren't. And they rock to a different beat, and, you know, they need a bit of flag as well.
Oh, is that what that indicates, or are you just making that up?
No, I do indicate it. Have you not even read the one article that you're basing this entire review on?
No, I read the first two. It's a visual thing. I'm reviewing it aesthetically. I don't need to read who did what and what it means. That's interesting. Is that what it means? Oh, well.
Yes.
So what does the red mean?
Although it's kind of...
What does the red, big, the large area of red mean in the civil ensign variant?
It's for the blood of the unbelievable.
Well, I like the civil one, and I think they should make that the regular flag because it's Christmassy.
Yeah,
it's got a nice white, green and red
Pakistan.
Christmassy feel to it, and I think it's lovely.
Think maybe they should have Santa on there as well.
You've got to get off this sort of pictorial obsession with flags, James. That's not what it's about. It's about the colours and the shapes.
I just think.
And the feeling of Christmas.
Well, you got the star, I suppose. That's kind of Christmassy.
It's the Christmas miracle. I'm probably going to stop talking now. I think that might be the best for everybody. Any other interesting facts, Mr. I bothered to read the short Wikipedia article?
Well, just talking about the white bar, I'm just thinking, you know, fair enough, it's nice they want to represent people who have different faiths and stuff, but they do kind of get the raw end of the deal, because if you look at the flag, you just think, oh, well, it's a flag, but they run out of green paint, you know.
Mm.
So we get a little bar.
So you think they should have had something else sort of crammed into the corner?
Yeah, maybe like a kind of amalgamation of all the other religious symbols.
Crammed into the corner. That would have crammed been a bit corner. Busy, wouldn't it?
And then Saeed and Amiruddin Kedwi's face looking down on them all, pleased with his works.
Okay, well, I give your redesign of the flag of Pakistan a 2 thumbs up, 7 out of 10, because I think it sounds ace. And can there be a bit of red in there as well, make it Christmassy?
Yeah, why don't we have, you know, little baby Jesus in the corner?
Oh, are we being really offensive now? We're offending someone, right?
I don't know, it's a good flag.
I think we're offending
I was being facetious before. I do think it's good. Good, strong design. Nice colour green, actually, to be fair.
Yeah, nice
colour green, which
nice hue.
Transfers well into, like, cricket strips, things like that.
Yes, absolutely.
So,
okay, so marks out of 10 for the flag of Pakistan.
I give it 7, I think.
Yeah, I would go with that. A solid 7 out of 10. That's an A. Ooh. Okay. Okay, well, that pretty much wraps it up for today, right?
Yes. So, now, I think it's fair to say that if listeners to this or readers of our website or whatever could send in ideas for review so we don't have to do this sort of thing again, it might be a good idea.
Worse idea, could it? No, we've got a bunch of stuff to review. It's just that today this is what we did
we wanted to do. It's kind of found art in a way, isn't it?
Look, you are to blame for this whole thing. Remember that.
Mea culpa.
No, absolutely.
But still, it'd be good if people, you know, got involved. Sent ideas in. I think that'd be nice. Create a kind of URT community.
Yeah, no, it would. Absolutely. But, yeah, just tell us what you want reviewed. If there is a burning question in your life, we can solve it and give it a mark out of 10. Just tell us what you would like reviewed and we'll do it. You can get in touch with us in the comments on our blog, I guess, or we're on Twitter at URTheory. I'm Neil Cameron on Twitter.
I'm Pretzels and Cheese on Twitter.
Pretzels and Cheese, all one word.
I sign up to things without really knowing how they work and then spend the rest of my time regretting the name, photo, persona I've adopted.
Well, you are now marketing yourself as a global internet brand as Pretzels and Cheese, I see. So, there we go.
DJ Pretzels and Cheese.
Wow. Those are a couple of ways of getting in touch with us. And, you know, you can just subscribe to the podcast and stuff on iTunes. I don't really know how it all works, so I'm going to stop telling you. We should write a bit for this end bit so that we don't just gibber unintelligibly. That's...
Why? Well, we've gibbered unintelligibly for about half an hour. It would be, I think, kind of two-faced to stop gibbering.
It would be disingenuous to suddenly slip into a smooth, rehearsed, scripted bit to wrap the thing up. You're right. But yeah, absolutely. We hope you have enjoyed our ramblings today. And yes, we will actually put slightly more effort into it next time. We've got lots of exciting things to review lined up. As I say, this was just a kind of a stopgap, if you like. But we'll be back actually quite soon with some exciting reviews for you.
Yeah.
So keep checking the wherever the hell you found this.
Yes, and, you know, just keep on being wonderful.
Oh, I will, James. Thank you.
Not you, them.
Okay. All right, we'll see you later. Bye.
Okay, bye.